This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Hi, it's Rich. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of the Zeoli Show. And do us a big favor, please. Subscribe to the podcast. Subscribing always helps. Tell your friends. Enjoy the podcast.
Rich Zeoli Show Podcast.
Well, BuzzFeed drops a bombshell today, but are they telling the truth? That's the big question. Racketing throughout Washington today, ricocheting through Washington and in New Jersey. Kind of an explosive testimony, I think, regarding our friend Governor Phil Murphy, who went off, by the way, on Donald Trump. Yes, you know how the governor of New Jersey, Phil Murphy, often says things like heck and golly gee when he's mad? Ah, New Jersey, ah, heck. I can't take it anymore. Ah, heck. Well, the governor decided to go after the president in a Facebook Live town hall, courtesy of NJ.com. Why don't we take a little bit of audio here of the governor of New Jersey, cut number one.
Ridiculous. Juvenile. President Trump in most of the polls is blamed for it. And I'm not taking, I do not take partisan shots for the sake of taking partisan shots.
Oh,
I was
no.
asked a question
right.
about Minority Leader John Bramnick today related to NJ Transit. And I went out of my way to say some laudatory things about John because I believe he's a good man in this for the right reasons. We may not always agree and we don't. But on this one, President Trump is being blamed for the shutdown and he deserves it. This is ridiculous. It's juvenile and he's impacting 800,000 federal workers to backstop, but I'm pleading with the president to come to his senses and reopen the government. That's the most important thing we can do. In the meantime, New Jersey will do everything we can to put out a helping hand and get people through this man-made crisis.
Man-made? Why gotta bring gender into it? Gillette would not be happy, Governor Murphy. All right. Why you have to bring gender into it with your white male privilege? New Jersey, ridiculous, sophomoric, juvenile,
ridiculous, juvenile.
More
President
words.
Trump in most
I could
of
say.
The polls is blamed.
New Jersey. New Jersey, and then go out there and salt your street tonight, New Jersey. Go salt your street. Do your part, New Jersey. Brine the roads like a turkey. Like a turkey on Thanksgiving. But New Jersey will lend a helping hand. I love that. Don't you? New Jersey will lend a helping hand to people. Helping hand. So if you need a helping hand, you call Phil Murphy. Unless you're Katie Brennan. Don't call Phil Murphy because he won't help you.
God.
He won't help
everybody
you.
Everybody but her.
Yeah. Everybody but a woman who works for you who's accused, who accuses a guy on your staff of raping her. Everybody else can get a helping hand. Except Katie Brennan.
Yeah.
All right.
I think Governor Phil Murphy has some words for himself.
Ridiculous. Juvenile.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. Gosh golly gee. Well, he really went off there, didn't he? I love the headline, too, on NJ.com. Murphy skewered Trump over the shutdown. Yeah, I'm sure the president was up all night last night just feeling so skewered over that. Gosh golly darn it. Well, is he going to grow up or what? It's like a New Jersey preschool, New Jersey. New Jersey. He loves saying New Jersey, too, doesn't he? He loves it.
This is ridiculous. It's juvenile.
Yeah.
And he's impacting 800,000 federal workers to backstop. But I'm pleading with the president to come to his senses and reopen the government. That's the most important thing we can do.
There you go.
In the meantime, New Jersey will do everything we can to put out a helping hand and get people through this man-made crisis.
There you go. All right. Let's see, got an email from Dan Hanrahan or something. Thanks for calling out the bias of CNN. I'm thankful that I can listen to unbiased straight shooter Rich Zeoli make Chris Christie his fat jokes so much better than the fake news lamestream media. Well, first of all, thank you for listening. Number two, I didn't make Chris Christie's fat jokes. I made Chris Christie joke book titles, book title jokes. And third, I've never pretended to be unbiased. I have tons of bias. That's the difference, though, genius. I'm not trying to be unbiased like George Stephanopoulos or Chris Cuomo or any of these other people. Chris Cuomo on CNN is amazing to me. He really is. He and Don Lemon last night, the two of them going back and forth on the, we call this the lesser to the lemon handoff. when the lesser Chris Cuomo hands off his show to the lemon. Last night they were discussing Cardi B's profanity-filled tweet. All right. Cardi B, who just kept dropping F-bombs left and right about Trump and the shutdown. So here we go. Cut number seven.
My 8-year-old sings her stuff all the time.
Oh, yeah. And if she's saying, I don't dance now, I make money moves. Mm-hmm. If you see me and I don't speak, that's because I don't, you know what, with you. Right. So that's Cardi B from the Bronx. Of course you should care about
the boogie down Bronx.
The boogie down Bronx. Of course you should care about what she says because she's speaking for a whole lot of people. And listen, I'm going to go out on a limb here and I'm going to say I may not agree with her language. It's not necessarily the language that I would use on television. Maybe in person I might use some of that. She is absolutely right.
See, my neck moves. My neck's getting better. Finally.
You know what? OK. Do you know what Bodak Yellow is?
Who?
That's Cardi B's song.
Oh, I didn't hear what he's saying. We're like whispering. We're on television.
Bodak Yellow. I'm wearing a microphone. I don't have to yell at you. You know these things? They're called microphones.
Isn't that her big hit?
That's it. Bodak Yellow.
Yeah, I mean, I hear her music in my house all the time. Cha-Cha loves it.
Well, I got to go because I got to make some money moves right now.
Did you see my moves before? You weren't saying that. You can't move your neck like that. I only have half my vertebrae.
You can't dance.
You think you dance better than I can?
You're a terrible dancer.
You think you can dance better than I can?
We're not going to have a dance-off, okay, Chris?
Whenever you want. Whenever you want.
Boy, you need a whole bunch of Gillette razors.
Whenever you want.
All right.
Whenever you want.
It's amazing that show is third.
Did you call him a boy?
Out of three.
Oh, my God.
He called Chris Cuomo a boy.
It's amazing how that show is in last place. I'm really shocked by that. Kind of hard-hitting, intelligent banter.
What was that?
That was embarrassing is what that was.
Now, he's third out of three, which is why we call him the lesser, among other reasons. But then, in terms of the entire rankings, he's like 14 out of 14 or something. I mean, it's dead last, yeah, the show.
When you say third, it kind of like third is
out of three
is decent, but you have to say third out of three.
Right.
Because
so he's in third place out of three. So it goes Hannity, Maddow, him. But in between that, there's National Geographic shark shows. There's reruns of, Unsolved Mysteries. There's
So really, it's like 17. Oh, if you put the other
it's
stuff
like 23rd,
ahead.
I think.
Yeah, 100%. But you see why, though, with that kind of back and forth banter. Chachi loves it. What the hell is he talking about?
It's his idea.
His 8-year-old daughter?
Oh. Yeah. I thought it was
so,
his dog.
So he, well, maybe his dog loves it. I don't know. You see my dance moves? That minute you'll never have back in your life. I'm just saying. All right. I do love you. I love each and every Zealy Army member, but that minute of your life, you'll never get that minute back. All right. But hey, more people heard that idiotic minute right now on this show than did last night and the handoff from the lesser to the lemon. Okay. 855-839-1210. I'm just pointing this out because the absurdity in the media is just amazing here. Let's see here now. MSNBC's Katie Turr on MSNBC suggests that the president denying the plane to Nancy Pelosi, the vampiric one, more grounds that he's no longer fit for office, or never was, as a matter of fact. Take a listen.
Is it all about the investigation, though? I mean, let's talk about his conduct in office, the way he speaks about people, the way he targets individual Americans. He's intimidating witnesses. He's calling African nations S-hole countries. He's blowing up alliances. He's taking the notes away from an interpreter. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on. I mean, what more does the House need in order to debate fitness for office?
Aha. Well, it's a great question, Katie Turr, and really objective. Let's go to Representative Castro, the lesser Castro now. He was on with Andrea Mitchell Reports, also an incredibly unbiased, straight-up-the-middle show on MSNBC. With regards to the BuzzFeed story today, the big BuzzFeed story, cut 17.
If this report is true, if the president directed Michael Cohen to lie, then that's a clear case of participating in perjury and obstruction of justice, and he should resign, but if he doesn't resign, he should be impeached.
So if it's not true, does that mean you won't impeach him? That's my question. I'm asking for a friend. If it turns out the BuzzFeed story is not true, does that mean he doesn't get impeached? Representative Castro, who wants to be like Castro, by the way, that's his slogan, make America Cuba again. This is Democrat Representative Cohen here. This is Steve Cohen of Tennessee. Ready? Regarding the president and his future, cut 12.
I think he's given up on the idea of being reelected. He's hunkered down.
I don't know about that.
Their campaign.
I don't know about that. Inc. keeps sending out emails talking about new staff hires.
Well, they may be doing it to raise money and spend it at Trump hotels. This is a very unusual man in presidency. He is hunkered down to keeping his base, to keep the Senate Republicans on his team. He foresees, I think, impeachment coming because he knows and Mueller knows what he did. And that scares the heck out of Trump, because I think that the worst things people expect, probably the least things people will realize. You know, some famous professor said that this was like the Titanic coming at the iceberg. And I've seen that as I've sat in Congress. That's why I filed my resolution in 2017, because it's obviously the iceberg is there and Trump is the Titanic.
Now, you realize that this guy had an impeachment resolution in 2017. Right. But yet today we're all supposed to pretend like this BuzzFeed story is finally the thing that gets them all talking about impeachment. Like up until now, it wasn't. If you're concerned about the BuzzFeed story, don't be, because how many times have we been down this road already? Honestly, how many times have we been down this road? The reason why I'm playing all these clips is to prove you a point. The point is this. We have heard this impeachment nonsense from day one. Day one. This guy, this Democrat member of Congress in 2017 had impeachment articles filed in the House and went nowhere, but filed them in the House, brought them up in the House because he wanted to impeach Trump. And then Castro says, well, if it's true, he must be impeached. If it's not true, the BuzzFeed story that the president directed Michael Cohen to lie to Congress, they'll still try to impeach him. You understand that? That's the point of all this for them. They hate him. And whether it's the lesser, whether it's Don Lemon, whether it's these members of Congress, or it's Katie Turr, or John Meacham, the historian John Meacham, saying that if the president, if this is true, he must be impeached. It goes on, and it doesn't stop. Michigan Democrat, a member of Congress, calls the president a man baby. And they laugh. This is the civility of the left. They're having a conversation. It's Brett Stevens of the New York Times, Katie Turr of MSNBC, and Zerlina Maxwell. And there's a Michigan Democrat, Dan Kildee. And they have White House correspondent Kelly O'Donnell. They're all there together. This is the new civility. Cut 14.
This is not. This is the president essentially being a man baby. All over again.
Kelly O'Donnell, do you think the White House is going to have a response to the president being a man baby?
I'm going to pass on that one.
New York Times columnist Brett Stevens, right? New York Times, okay? The old gray lady, New York Times, the paper of record, right? New York Times columnist and of course, perpetual Trump derangement sufferer Brett Stevens, who has fretted how he has children in high school, middle school, and grade school, and all of them have a better grasp of the rules of capitalization than Trump. Now, here we go now. This is real, real mature here. Cut 13B.
I have a high school, a child in high school, a child in middle school, and a child in grade school, and all of them have a better grasp of the rules of capitalization. This is a president who's losing. He's losing politically. He knows it. We know that he knows that we know that he's losing. This is the only word for this is childish. I mean, it's kind of out of the nyanyany poo-poo school of grade school taunts. Yeah, what about your trip to Afghanistan? But the most important part is it's ineffectual. What you are actually watching, I think, is the death rattle of the effective Trump presidency. At least I hope.
Yeah, see, the death rattle. This is the civility of the left right now. And yet, today when BuzzFeed posted their bombshell, or I guess late last night, everybody went, well, now we finally got him, except there's one problem. The two reporters who wrote this story both went on cable television today, and they both contradicted each other. Each one contradicted the other regarding the big BuzzFeed story. So as excited as the left is today that they finally got him, I don't know if they really did. It doesn't matter, though, right? Because whether it's this or something else, they clearly have no intention of working with the president. They clearly just want to take him out. They clearly want to get rid of him. The vileness of all this. You know, sometimes I get questions from people. Why do you play all that stuff? Don't you want to hear this? I mean, don't you need to hear exactly the kind of vitriol that is spewed every day by the media in this country? I think so. It's also incredibly entertaining for us, but really for you, I mean, if you're wondering why it is that we still have a government shutdown, it's because of this. They do not want to, and they will not work with this man, period. Now, I ooze bias. I do. I ooze bias. That doesn't mean I'm not afraid to call the president out when I think he's wrong on something. It's just that I don't pretend like I'm an objective person. I'm not. I have very strong opinions. That's true. Let me ask you this question I have for you, Dawn, here. You know Ivanka Trump, right?
Yes.
President's daughter? Okay. According to the BuzzFeed story, Ivanka Trump was slated to manage a spa at the tower that was going to be built in Moscow and personally oversee the architect. She instructed Michael Cohen to speak with a Russian athlete to discuss synergy on a government level. And she was going to go over there now, and she was going to run the spa. Do you think that Ivanka and Jared would move their family to Moscow to manage a spa?
Nope.
At the Trump Hotel in Moscow, or the Trump Tower in Moscow?
I find that story preposterous.
Really?
And kind of sexist? Like, oh yeah, like what is she going to do? Give people facials? Or like, you know what I mean? Like, oh yeah, she's going to be the spa manager. It just, I don't know. It doesn't ring true. That's all I can say. It just doesn't ring true to me.
The idea of Ivanka Trump going to Russia, moving her family to Moscow, to live in Moscow.
Yeah, they have young kids. He's
the worst place ever.
Well, and we know, his family, especially, they're very involved in their synagogue and big family and all that. Like, I just don't, the whole thing does not ring true to me.
Yeah, that part especially does not ring true. Oh, yeah, let's pack up and go to Moscow and run a spa in Moscow. Chris Christie would love that, by the way, if Jared and Ivanka packed up and moved to Moscow. Maybe he's the one who leaked that. He was hoping for that.
It just sounds to me like they're trying to go after Ivanka because she's like the golden child.
Let's see here now.
That's my take.
Well, I don't think you're wrong. BuzzFeed had two reporters on today, two different places. Anthony Cormier, he went on CNN. On the New Day, and Jason Leopold went on MSNBC. They're the two that wrote the story. Now, let me give you some insight into the story if you're just joining us today. First of all, where you been? Number one, the BuzzFeed bombshell, all right? The idea is that Michael Cohen was directed to lie to Congress by the President of the United States. Now, if it's true, then it's a game changer in terms of how Republicans would react to the president in an impeachment trial. All right. Obviously, if it's true, that means that Republicans, if he's impeached by the House, in the Senate, are going to have a lot of very uncomfortable moments. The question, though, is it true? Now, Donald Trump doesn't use an email, doesn't write things on text message, doesn't do any of those things. So is it going to be a question of whether or not it's Michael Cohen's word versus his? Like, is Michael Cohen going to stand there and say, he told me to lie to Congress? In which case, then, my money's on the president because Michael Cohen's an admitted liar. And in any situation where somebody accuses somebody of something, if that person's already been a liar, exposes a liar, their credibility goes out the window. A good defense attorney, for example, would crucify him in cross-examination. So then the question becomes, are there actual documents that show the president saying lie to Congress? Now, there's no question that they wanted to build a tower in Moscow. I don't really even understand why that's an issue. I don't understand why they wouldn't just come out and say it if it's true. But if they didn't come out and say it because they're worried about the political backlash or whatever, it's also irrelevant. Building a tower in Moscow is not a crime. You're allowed to do business in Russia. I have news for you. You are. You're allowed to do business in Russia. You can build a hotel there. You may have to bribe some people, I guess, with rubles or whatever the hell they use over there. I don't know. I've heard people with horror stories of having to adopt a child over there and other things before that was illegal. And it's not a good country to do business with. I don't know. Maybe all that was going to come out. Or maybe it would just fill the media fantasy of that the president is Putin's got something on him. I don't know. I do know this, though. If the president said to his attorney, Michael Cohen, go and lie to Congress, and they can prove that, that's a very, very explosive allegation. So two BuzzFeed writers write this big story today. Trump directed Michael Cohen to lie to Congress. That's the headline. Now, the question that everybody asks is, have you seen proof of this? Have you seen evidence of this? Now, in my mind, the evidence would be an email. Hey, Michael, it's me, the president. I've never used email before in my life, but now I've waited until I became president to write you an email to direct you to perjure yourself in front of Congress. So I'm now directing you, which is in itself a crime, to tell you to commit a crime. Before, and I'll put this down in email, because even though my entire life I've thought, don't put anything in writing, I've now decided since I'm president to go ahead and email you this and direct you to commit a federal crime. Or a text message. Michael, I've never texted before, but I've decided now's the first time. And oh, in the course of my text, go and perjure yourself in front of Congress. When the BuzzFeed reporters are asked the questions about the evidence, no one cares if they have evidence that Trump wanted to build a tower in Moscow. No one cares. It's irrelevant. There's no crime in wanting to build a tower in Moscow. Now, politically speaking, it might be problematic, but I don't really think so. I really don't. But again, I'm a different kind of a thinker on these things. I don't view a bad relationship with Russia as a good thing. I think a good relationship with any country is a good thing in terms of peace. I'm not a big war hawk guy, and I'm certainly not a guy who's going to sit here and tell you that we need to be at Russia's throat for the rest of our mortal existence on this planet. So perhaps I just see it differently. But there's no problem, I don't think, with wanting to build a hotel in Moscow. And I'm sure that you have to bribe the local officials. I have no doubt of that fact. But again, that politically might be a problem. It doesn't violate U.S. law, per se. So if the president told Michael Cohen to lie about it, he wasn't telling him to cover up a crime. He was telling him to cover up what could be a bad political story. But prove it. Prove it to me. Prove it. Don't say you have evidence that they were going to build a hotel. That no one cares. That doesn't prove a damn thing. If you're going to make a headline, an explosive headline that says President Trump directed Michael Cohen to lie to Congress, you have to prove that. Not, oh, well, we can't prove that, but we can prove they were talking about building a tower. No, no, no. That doesn't prove he then told Michael Cohen to lie. You understand? That does not prove that. What proves it is if you have the president now definitively telling him, and you've got evidence of that, Michael, I want you to go to Congress and lie about the tower. Lie about our plans to build a hotel in Russia. Lie about the fact that we were going to do it, now we're not anymore. Now, you're going to watch here, you're going to listen to this, the two BuzzFeed reporters. The one guy, first of all, says that hey, he's not seen the evidence. Then the other guy comes on and says he has. But then you listen to him ramble, and you realize very, very quickly that what he's talking about is not evidence that President Trump directed Michael Cohen to lie. He's saying they saw evidence of a hotel, discussions about a hotel in Moscow. Again, that does not prove that he directed Michael Cohen to lie. It's like the reporter saying, no, we saw evidence of the Watergate break-in. But that's not the same thing as saying we saw the evidence of the president telling John Dean to go out and lie about it. That's different. And if you have Woodward and Bernstein investigating, everybody's now equating this to Watergate. So if Woodward and Bernstein are investigating Watergate, and the two of them go on TV, and they both say contradictory things to each other about the same story they wrote together, that's a problem. If Woodward goes on TV and says, yeah, no, this guy Deep Throat told me everything, and then Bernstein goes on TV and says, never met with Deep Throat, never talked to him. I heard him. Someone talked to him and told us. Way different. So let's start with now BuzzFeed reporter Anthony Cormier. Take a listen.
In the report, you say that you have two law enforcement sources who tell you that they have seen evidence, texts, emails, a cache of other documents, maybe transcripts with other witnesses in Trump Organization that Donald Trump pressured Michael Cohen to lie. He suborned perjury. Have you seen any of that other corroborating evidence?
No, I've not seen it personally, but the folks that we've talked to, the two officials that we've spoken to, are fully 100% read in to that aspect of the special counsel's investigation.
Okay. So he's not. We have not. We have not. All right. We've not seen it personally. All right. Then his co-author of the piece, Jason Leopold, goes on MSNBC. Take a listen.
Your colleague, who you wrote the story with, says that neither of you, when you talk about those documents, that you guys haven't actually seen them. You haven't seen the documents, the texts, the emails, et cetera. So how confident are you that they actually exist, that this is true?
I don't think that we've said that we haven't seen them, but I will say that I'm very confident that they exist.
Your colleague said on CNN this morning that you were briefed on these documents by those law enforcement sources that you referenced. Can you clarify for me sort of what the status is of that?
Sure. Over the course of a year, we've reported pretty extensively on the Trump Moscow project.
See?
And we have been... I'll just say that we've seen documents, we've been briefed on documents, we're very confident in our reporting.
Now, that's a game right there he's playing. I don't doubt for a second that they saw documents relating to their talks of building a hotel in Moscow. But you see the game here. He wants you to believe, no, we've seen evidence of the president directing Michael Cohen to lie. No, he doesn't say that. He doesn't say that at all. He goes, oh, we've been reporting this Moscow hotel thing for a year. And the MSNBC reporter, I guess it's Katie Turr. Is that right, Greg?
Haley Jackson.
She goes, no, that's right. That doesn't then mean the president told Michael Cohen to lie to Congress. Like, in other words, proving that the thing that he allegedly lied about occurred doesn't then prove that he was told to lie about it. Right? No one's doubting that they wanted to build a hotel in Moscow. No one doubts that. No one's doubting that they had conversations about that. The problem is, for them, there's nothing illegal about that. There's nothing impeachable about that. So then they ratchet up by going, well, he told me he's to suborn perjury, directing someone to lie to Congress, a violation of the separation of powers, a violation of the president's duty to uphold the truth, all of it. But when asked the question, have you seen the evidence supporting that? The one guy says no, and the other guy does a little dance. As he admits that the only thing he's seen are documents related to the hotel in Moscow. They now shuttered, I should say, the shuttered plans for a hotel in Moscow. That's it. Big whoop. You can't come out with an explosive story like that. Trump directed Michael Cohen to lie to Congress and then have no evidence backing it up. Zero evidence backing it up. And then the two knuckleheads go on TV and contradict each other. I saw the plan for the hotel. Big deal. That doesn't confirm the president of the United States told his attorney to go before the United States Congress and commit a felony by lying to them under oath. You know it and I know it. And that's why there's so many questions surrounding this story. And of course, why every Democrat goes, but if it's true. Yeah, if it's true. But as the old saying goes, if it's not true, they'll find just something else. That old saying was said by me on Inauguration Day. If it's not this, it'll be something else. What's the question? The answer to the question nobody was asking. What's the question that nobody was asking? Does anyone want to guess? How can you even answer a question like that? What was the question nobody was ever asking? Anywhere. You want to try? It's an impossible task. The question was this. Bob Casey, will you run for president? Nobody was asking that question. Anywhere. Nobody was asking the lesser Casey, will you run for president?
Bob Casey.
Yeah. Today he announced he's passing on a 2020 presidential bid.
I'll pass. I'm good.
Rich, would you like to make an announcement?
Yeah. I will not be marrying Mila Kunis.
Oh.
All right? I will not be leaving my wife. She will not be leaving Ashton Kutcher. I will not be marrying Mila Kunis. The question nobody was asking. Will you, Lester Casey, run for president? He actually, in a nod, he put out a statement. He put out a statement to CNN. This is great. Senator Bob Casey announces he will not run for president after exploring it for 2 months. The fact that Bob Casey Jr. was exploring running for president and nobody knew about it. Nobody.
That's not good.
Tells you exactly what you need to know.
He's the great explorer.
Yeah. Bob Casey Jr. had a presidential exploratory committee, and nobody was on the committee. And nobody knew about it. The big shock of this story is that people went, wait, Bob Casey was thinking about running for president? Quote, with all of those challenges, this is the whole statement here from the lesser Casey, quote, with all these challenges confronting us and with our Commonwealth playing a potentially decisive role in the 2020 vote, I believed it was important for me to at least consider the monumental undertaking of running for president. After 2 months of considering it, I've concluded the best way for me to fight for the America that so many of us believe in is to stay in the U.S. Senate and not run for the presidency in 2020. All right. So in those 2 months he was considering it, he apparently went into a locked room, shut the door, barred windows, cut all communication with the outside world, and just thought about it by himself. Emerged from the room and said, yeah, I'm not going to run for president.
Did the white smoke come up when he emerged?
Yeah. And now we'll have 6 more weeks of winter. 6 more weeks of the presidential primary season. Dawn, I have an announcement today. I will not be going to the moon this summer. I've thought about it, but I just feel like my job is to be here as your afternoon drive host. I just don't think going to the moon right now is right for me. So any other announcements anybody wants to make on the show today? Huh? I will not be hanging out with Ben Affleck. I will not be having dinner with Ben Affleck this weekend. And I will not be at Chris Christie's birthday party this year.
I will not be sober this weekend.
I will not be sober this weekend.
Well, you will because you have your kids.
Yeah, well, thank you.
I'm sorry.
What is the question that nobody was asking? Senator Bob Casey, will you run for president of the United States?
So I have CNN on almost 24/7 now.
Yeah.
And I saw this pop up this morning, and they spent a good 15 seconds going, Pennsylvania Senator Bob Casey will not run for president in 2020. Now let's talk about Joe Biden.
All right, we got to get back for next week, by the way. We have to get that for Monday. And news that no one cares about, Bob Casey won't run for president.
Breaking news.
Wow.
So stupid.
Just really amazing to me. Amazing. All right. Let's see here now. But part of the reason why Bob Casey's not running is he has nothing to apologize for except being boring. John King today from CNN was asked that all the Democrats getting into the race have to begin with, I'm sorry. The only thing that the lesser Casey could apologize for is no one knowing who the hell he is.
I'm sorry. Nobody
knows. Yeah. Being an absolute waste of everybody's time and oxygen and space. And I'm sorry that my name is Casey.
I'm sorry I'm not my dad.
Yeah, I'm sorry I'm not my dad. I'm sorry I'm the lesser of the Casey family. But cut three now.
To that point, what has been striking about this, the early weeks of this, is that so many of the Democrats getting in have to begin with, I'm sorry.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Right.
Senator Gillibrand?
Yes.
Previous positions on guns and immigration, where she was representing a House district, very conservative, says to the base now. She says flatly, I was wrong. Kamala Harris, she was Attorney General of California, some positions on criminal justice reform and law and order that are viewed as more tough than where the base of the party is right now. Tulsi Gabbard, some statements essentially harshly critical of gay Americans and organizations representing gay Americans. She said yesterday, I'm sorry. Senator Sanders said to apologize to women who worked on his last campaign who say they suffer from a sexual harassment environment.
Bob Casey has to apologize for being Bob Casey Jr. Yeah. Okay. Very good. Oh, I like that tweet you just retweeted, Dawn. That's good.
Wasn't that funny?
Yeah.
Oh, Dawn's checking her Twitter again?
I know. No, you know what it was? I got a new iPhone and then the wrong...
I can't retweet your tweet. Why not?
I know. See?
Why it's do like you have your Kremlins. Tweets protected?
I don't. What, me?
You do. You can't retweet you.
Yes.
Like I just tried.
There's a setting that you have to.
It's unbelievable.
Because I got a new iPhone and then the wrong account was in. Like, it's crazy. It's, you know.
This is amazing. Dawn's been on the show for how many years now, Greg?
Since 2015.
And I can't retweet her.
No.
I still haven't earned that privilege yet. I haven't earned her trust.
She still tags you in everything. But not,
yeah, she tagged me, Jared Kushner, Ivanka Trump, at Entercom. I love it. At Entercom.
Entercom.
Yeah, she at Entercom. Oh, she tagged Entercom in this.
Evil overlord.
And that's great. That's great. Now, let me share with you Dawn's tweet here. New Jersey lawmakers end another frustrating day of hearings into the hashtag MeToo Katie Brennan case.
Yes.
You retweeted Holly Schapese's tweet. She's a New Jersey assemblywoman.
Yes.
Who tweeted, quote, in New Jersey's biggest mystery since where is Jimmy Hoffa buried? Who in Governor Murphy's administration hired Al Alvarez? Matt Platkin, Governor Murphy's chief counsel, most recent member to testify, he doesn't know who hired him.
Yes.
Right. By the way, I don't think Jimmy Hoffa is in New Jersey.
I thought he was.
I thought they determined he wasn't.
Yeah, when they leveled
Giant Stadium.
Yeah, and then they rebuild. I think that was put to rest.
For a long time, the rumor always was that he had season tickets, permanent season tickets to the Giants and the Jets games. And then, yeah, it became MetLife Stadium, so they raised the original Giant Stadium.
Yes.
And then they looked around for his body, and he was nowhere to be found. So
that rumor was, yeah.
Yeah, that rumor. Because even Jimmy Hoffa doesn't want to end up in Jersey when he's dead.
He's like, have you seen the taxes in this place?
Good yeah, God. They were asking right before they killed him. Please just get me out of New Jersey. That's all I ask. Even Jimmy Hoffa was begging to get out of New Jersey towards the end. Amazing.
Good God, get me out of here.
Yeah, please. The question nobody was asking, will Bob Casey run for president? Hey, President Trump, you can sleep soundly tonight. Bob Casey's not running against you. I mentioned at the start of the show today that with the March for Life going on in D.C., I took a moment to commend the two birth mothers of my children, because you know, Patrick and Claire, we adopted them, and we're so proud of that fact. But the two women who made that choice, so incredibly brave in my mind, and they're just heroes to me. The heroes to our family, of course. Not easy decisions to make, you know. And I couldn't be happier, obviously. I mean, I joke about having to babysit the kids all weekend. Babysit my kids, you know. But I mean, spending time with the kids because my wife's with this weekend. But yes, it's like any other parent. It's the same when you adopt a child. There's no difference in terms of that. Like any other parent, you are the ones that, you're the parents. It's how it works. But somebody there brought that child into the world biologically. And I just have to say, they are the most courageous women in the world, in my opinion. They really are. They really, truly are. And I got a beautiful email today from Diane, who said, Rich, you, Dawn, and Greg always make me laugh. Today you made me cry. Your words at the beginning of your show today about birth mothers were beautiful and touched my heart in a very special way. I'm a birth mother to two beautiful girls, women now, who I've been blessed to be reunited with after 37 years. I have met their moms and dads, and I'm so grateful for the lives they have had because of those loving people. It's what I always prayed for every day. It's what I couldn't give them. God bless you, your Bridget, and your children. I know you are giving them the best life ever. I am still working on telling my story out loud. I know that I did the right thing, but keeping it inside and hidden for so many years has laid heavy in my heart. Today, you ease some of the heaviness, and I thank you so much. God bless, Diane. She said, P.S., best Christmas present ever, an album from each of them with pictures as they grow up. God is good. Well, thank you. I mean, first of all, thank you for listening, and thank you for taking the time to write that email, but thank you for what you did. I mean, it's incredible what you did, in my opinion. I think it's absolutely incredible. Selfless and just absolutely brave, beautiful, a beautiful, beautiful choice to be made. So I salute every single birth mom out there. I really do, on a day like today when people march for life. Okay. I also, that said, have no idea what the hell I'm going to do to entertain my children this weekend. I really have still no clue. And as they get closer and closer to me getting off the air and going home, it's looming over me like a giant, heavy cloud of doom. I told Patrick today, I said, buddy, listen, I ordered all of the Super Friends.
Yeah.
Yes. Season one and season two.
That's great.
Yeah, because he'll be entertained and you'll be entertained.
And I'll be entertained too. So we'll sit there. I got to go get almond milk on the way home tonight so we can have cereal together and watch the shows tomorrow morning.
Oh,
so.
Just like Saturday morning.
Exactly.
Aww. Dude, come
exactly.
On.
That's so awesome.
What time can I come over there?
Come on over.
That sounds amazing.
Bring the Xbox.
Yeah.
Or what is it now? It's the Xbox, right?
Yeah.
Bring that over. We'll, I'm sure there's a Superman game we can play.
Yeah, I'm sure there is too.
And Evil Jared gave me this Superman drone. Look at that. Yeah, somebody left for Christine Flowers like 7 years ago. So we took it. So I'm going to play with that over the weekend
with
the kids. I know.
But there are laws restricting drones in New Jersey, so you better be careful.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm breaking so many laws in my own backyard.
Yes. Get the most sugary cereal you can possibly get.
That's what we did, right?
Like
Frankenberry?
Frankenberry, Count Chocula.
Count Chocula.
You don't want to chocolate. You don't want to sugar them up.
No, I don't.
Oh, that's
it's all about Operation Nap.
Yeah.
The entire, you know.
See, the strategy has to be that you do something where you wear down the kids. So you got to do jumping jacks, as many jumping jacks as they can do. You got to, because if you sit around all day and eat sugar, they're never going to go to sleep and then they'll be all wired and then they get like that third wind. You're dead. You'd be calling us like, help.
I know. And for Patrick, it's easy because he's four. Claire, at two, she has no attention span to watch TV. So she'll watch like 5 minutes of a show and then she's done. And now she's like, you know, Daddy, play with me and I got to do dolls and everything like that.
Oh, boy.
And yes, I know.
Oh, boy.
I know. It's going to be a very long, long weekend.
And back in the day, at least before 4 p.m., you could have gone to a mall. But all the malls are shut down now.
I know. There's no malls left.
So there's like, where can you go?
I can't go to the Morristown
winter.
Mall because the mall cops are still looking for me. They have an APB out on me.
After the elf incident.
After the elf incident.
Have you seen this man?
Yeah. I can't. The alarms go off. But I can't do that. All right, Greg, let's do it.
Who won Twitter?
I'm going to give it to old man Dudley. He says, Rich, breaking news. Do nothing. Bob Casey announces he will do nothing. Amazing.
Amazing. That's absolutely amazing. Wow.
He took an exploratory committee. Just say I'm doing nothing.
Yeah, right. Right. Do nothing. Bob Casey, again, does absolutely nothing. Absolutely. The question that nobody was asking. I want to thank Flemington Furs for sponsoring Who Won Twitter. Flemington Furs, what fabulous feels like. Maybe I'll take the kids to buy fur coats tomorrow. Be a good way to entertain them for a couple hours.
Ricioli 306, Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.